Hey, I'm continuing our series these next few services in September on words, and we're going to continue that tonight, words part three, I will arise. Beginning with the book of Micah, I love this scripture. It is the declaration of faith spoken by someone who has faced the fire of adversity, and how we respond when things don't go exactly right. And Micah said, therefore I will look to the Lord. I will look to the Lord. Amen. Just remember, our hope is in God. Amen. My wife was like, honey, there's going to be a lot of people watching the debates tonight. I said, not at our church, honey. Our people are sold out to Jesus, and I knew you'd come. And they can DVR anyways. Turn to your neighbor and say, look to Jesus. Okay? So, just build it into your automated response to life that instead of going through a litany of things that you look to when things are going wrong, you know, this person, that situation, look to Jesus as quick as you can. The faster we give things to Jesus, the faster we release his kingdom to solve our need, to meet our need, to answer our prayer. Therefore, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. The word wait is the synonym in the Hebrew for this word, kova, is hope. It means to bind together by twisting. And so it's a hopeful expectancy. It's also an intentional union. So I'm going to join myself to God in this worship service. We were waiting on God. We were joining our hearts to God. We were pursuing the heart of God and giving him our heart. I will wait upon the Lord, the God of my salvation. So I just want to encourage you, don't give up believing. Don't give up hoping. Don't give up twisting yourself around Jesus. Amen? Waiting on him with expectancy. Because here's how he couches both of these things. Looking and waiting. My God will hear me. So I just want to encourage you that for us as believers, prayer is not just a devotional exercise to relieve psychological pressure. It does some of that. Okay? Cast your burdens upon God and his peace comes. That's a pretty cool thing, amen? Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. The peace of God comes. But prayer is the way God is allowed to do something about your mess. So prayer invites God. God can't do it until someone says it. And when we pray, we release the heart, the power, the abilities of God into our world. My God will hear me, someone's about to get a miracle answered prayer. You've been praying about something for so long and the enemy's trying to weary you to the point of giving up. But you've come too far to turn back now. You're on the verge of something magnificent happening in your life, your family, your journey, your business, your ministry, your health, your marriage, wherever it is, something that you've been praying about and waiting on and looking to God for is about to happen. Amen. So we pray because God said he would answer. And I expect my prayers to be answered. Y'all with me? Pastor Ian read that great scripture, God can do exceedingly abundant above all we ask or think. Well, he can't wait to be that kind of God for you. Prayer allows him to release the fullness of his abilities into the difficulties of our life. Verse 8. Rejoice not against me. Do not rejoice over me, O thou mine enemy. Now, the thing about life is this. It used to be that people would kind of covertly or secretly or privately, if someone fell, someone got in trouble or someone had difficulty, they would, you know, secretly rejoice about it. Now we have a more violent culture where we celebrate people's failures out in the public. And so this says this. Don't rejoice over me, my enemy, when I fall. So everybody falls. We're not talking about falling away from God. We're not talking about falling into habitual sin. We're just talking about having a difficult season. And however that's manifested, something goes wrong. Something kind of takes the air out of your sails. Something, you know, hurts you, oppresses you. Something that you're believing didn't happen. So there's a thousand ways that that can be represented in our life. And so you'll find who's really with you when you're down. So when I counsel leaders, I'll tell them, listen, everybody's with you, but if you show weakness as a leader, anyone with an agenda will assert that agenda in trying to usurp authority over you. You find out people that you thought were your friends weren't necessarily your friends if you fall. Bam. Okay? But this verse says, my story is not over just because you think it is. Rejoice not against me, O thou mine enemy, when I fall. Now listen to it. Didn't say God's going to pick me up, which God does. There's scripture for that. But he says this, and this is my message. He says, when I fall, I'm going to prophesy my future on the way down. I will arise. I will arise. We begin our comeback when we confess that God's going to change things. Our comeback doesn't begin when things change. Our comeback begins when our confession changes. And so I just want to say over you, you're getting back up. You're coming back. Your best days are in front of you. The most useful part of your life is in front of you. You're going to get up from whatever's knocked you down. It's not bigger than God. And what God needs is your cooperation. And something dynamic is unleashed when you say something about your future. I will arise. Just look at someone and say, I will arise. When I fall, I will arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. So he says this just because of in the normalcy of life, the ebbs and flows of life, that things can happen and surprises come and people disappoint us and things happen. When those things happen, we refuse to let our words empower the enemy's intention to make us quit, but we prophesy, I'm getting back up. I'm getting back up. Now listen to this next sentence. Most people aren't defeated by what happens to them. They're defeated by what they've said about what's happened to them. Now you have to get this. Most people aren't defeated by what happens to them, but by what they said about it. My life is over. This marriage is over. My business is done. My future is blah, blah, blah. So you can have a beautiful young woman or young man that's 23 years old and they can walk around like life is over. And all of us that have lived a while know it's not. And if you can just side with God by faith and shine some light into your world and say, I don't know why this happened. I wish it hadn't happened, but I'm going to arise. I'm going to have a comeback. I'm going to watch God do awesome things. It's not what happens to you that defeats you. It's what you say about it. Now, let me add to that. The devil can't defeat you without your verbal agreement. Let me expand that. The devil doesn't know he's won until you tell him. He doesn't know he's won until someone says, I'm done. Don't be on the wrong side of your future. Don't be on the wrong side of God's will for your life. Don't side with the prosecutor. Don't side with the adversity, the adversary of your soul. Don't side with the person who's against you. Side with God who's for you. If God be for me, who can be against me? And then Paul helps us. He says, death to life, angels, principalities. Paul went to prison, was beaten 5 times, 39 times. 40 minus one, right at the verge of death, beaten 5 times, shipwrecked twice. He said, and all of those things, God never left me. He's on his ship. It's so intense. The storm is so hopeless that professional sailors and Roman soldiers give up all hope of making it. They threw the cargo overboard, and the Bible says they couldn't tell if it was day or night for days on end. It was just pure black. They're caught up in a hurricane or come some intense storm. And when all hope was lost, Paul stood up and said, I heard from Jesus, we're all going to be okay. The waves are battering. The sky is still dark. There's not one sign that what he said is true. But Paul said, I heard from God. God says the best is yet to come. God says we're going to get to Rome. God says not one person's going to die in this boat. Be the voice of hope. Be the voice of heavenly restoration. Just say something crazy in the midst of negative people. Come on. Just unleash some hope. And the Bible says, your light will shine in darkness. Boom. I will arise. I will arise. I will arise. I want to read another verse to you from the book of Job, or Job. Say Job chapter 22. The book of Job, don't be afraid of the book of Job. It's a great study about human behavior. There's many great truths in it. The entire affliction of Job's life, the entirety of that lasted 18 months. So you have to get this. He lived to be 140. So out of 140 years, he had 139 good years. Just trying to help you. He got everything back twice as much. So it's a story about human suffering, our responses, Job's false conclusions, his critical friends, all these things, Satan's engagement. Job didn't even know about the devil. But God's redemptive restoration, just like he's done for Mary and I in this church. This is a miracle church. If you need a miracle, just hang around. People healed from cancer almost every week here. Just stuff happens. Boom, bam, boom, bam. It's just God stuff. It's just God. Okay? A couple more thoughts. Job 22. You will declare a thing. So I like that because it's not just saying it. He said, you'll speak with the authority of a prince, you'll talk with the authority of a queen, you'll say something with an utterance of authority, you'll declare a thing, and it shall be established for you. So that's talking to the kingly anointing that we have as believers, that God says, if you say it, I can do it, just say some stuff. So you'll declare it. So now look, get this. So a declaration in kingdom vernacular, a declaration is law. You'll unleash the authority of a new law. You'll say something that has to be respected and honored. It will be established for you. Let me ask you, if God were to give you everything that you asked for, how would your life look? Would it be really messy right now? Would half the freeway be blown up? Would most of your relatives be dead? If God were to give you everything, so God says, I'm going to teach my kings and queens, my princes and princesses, I'm going to teach them how to align their lives with me and to release the power of godly declaration. You'll say it. And because you've said it, and God honors word, God made God in the beginning, God created heavens and the earth, and God said, and in his image, God made man and woman, and God blessed them and said, have dominion, subdue the earth. And the way we have dominion, subdue the earth, and release blessing is by speaking it. It will be established to you, so light will shine on your ways. Now, just get this. God says, I'm giving you the power to change the dynamics of a dark season. Just say some stuff. Say that I'm more than a conqueror through him that loved me. Say I can do things through all things through Christ that strengthens me. Say no weapon formed against me can prosper. Say some stuff. Say I'm the head and not the tail. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Say I'm redeemed. I'm forgiven. I'm accepted. I'm adopted. I'm chosen. I'm called. I'm helped. I'm healed. I'm forgiven. I'm sanctified. I'm saved. Just say some stuff. It's in your Bible, the B-I-B. Just find something in there. Say it. And shine some light. Amen. So, I'm going to say this again. The devil doesn't know he's won until you say so. Never say so. Never agree with him. I don't care what it looks like, devil. I'm going to win. Really? Yeah, really. Okay. Verse 29, and when they cast you down, that's not a verse we claim. Lord, I claim today that they'll cast me down in Christ's name. It's a factual matter of fact, life, reality. And when life throws you down and when people let you down or when people mistreat you, people abuse you, when something goes wrong and you're down, however you got there, Jesus never said to someone down, how'd you get there? I can only help you if you got there by innocence. No, half the people he helped were guilty. In other words, their sin got them into their situation. It was obvious. Warming the sheets, guy said, he said to one guy, stop sinning and this thing will forever be removed from your life. But Jesus never stopped the process of healing by gauging. He just said, it's your day, man. Get up. I'm here. Life's here. When they cast you down, y'all, anybody ever been cast down? Okay. You'll say this. So this is just so awesome. So they're casting you down, and you say this in that instant. See what you say. When something happens, determine how long it lasts. What you say when something happens determines how deep the impact is. You will say, exaltation shall come. King James says, there is a lifting up. Schwarzenegger said, I'll be back. You'll say, this thing ain't over. You'll say, I'm going to make a comeback. You'll say, I'll be back up where it was and even better. On the way down, you'll prophesy your way back. You'll say, exaltation shall come. Everything's about to change. God's going to help you. God's going to honor you. God's teaching you how to flow with his spirit, how to cooperate with him. How to say things that are in the mind of God. How to release the will of God by your declarations. God's ready. All the things you've been doing have a consequence. You're building something for God. Don't give up now. You'll say exaltation shall come. He will save the humble person. Beautiful. The person that recognizes their need for God, their dependency, their reliance on God, and prophesies because of that. I know God's with me. I know God won't fail me. I know the best is yet to come. I know God's a good God even when life gives me bad stuff. I know that he can work my bad stuff for good, that God specializes in making bad things have good outcomes. God, there's nothing God can't heal, fix, redeem, restore, repair in my life. You'll say stuff. And when you say that stuff on the way down, you bounce right back. Bam. Bam. I'm making my comeback. Tell your neighbor I'm making my comeback. This wasn't in my notes. Maybe the guys can follow it anyways. I want to read a scripture from John chapter 11. And this is a story of Jesus going to pray for Lazarus. But I love how it begins. Here's how it begins. A certain man was sick, Lazarus. Now, these were his most likely, besides the disciples, besides Peter and John and James, these were his closest friends. Okay, Mary, Martha, Lazarus, of Bethany. Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment, who wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. So we're getting that we're couching the circumstance in that these are very wonderful people. They're Jesus lovers, and Jesus knows and loves them. In fact, to help us, then the Bible even says, the sister sent word to Jesus saying, Lord, behold, the man you love is sick, reminding Jesus that he loved him. So in fact, it says twice, behold, he that loveth. So it gives us, listen, God doesn't stop loving you when things go wrong in your world. We have to solidify some things. Amen. God loves us when we mess up. Now, if it's a sinful mess up, he wants us to repent and get right with it. He doesn't sanctify that sin. But he doesn't stop loving you because you're a mess up. Amen. So because what happens is we get kind of twisted. And so we look at people's sin and especially we hate people's sin. And that's just horrible. How could God even care about them? But really our attitude is possibly more ugly than their sin. So we just have to be real careful. So Jesus loved sinners. Now he turned them into believers, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. But you can't wait till someone gets better to love them. You got to love them better. Okay. So when Jesus heard it, so he's got the news now. The guy's sick. This guy you love, this important family. The Bible says, he said this, so he said something about the outcome at the beginning. He said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved, thank you John for telling us that, Martha, her sister, and Lazarus. So there it is. So Jesus loves them. They're going through a hard time. Lazarus is very sick. And Jesus said, this sickness isn't going to take him out. And then he waits there a couple more days. Purposely, instinctively following the Holy Spirit. Instead of racing to meet a need, he follows the Holy Spirit's leadership. And the Holy Spirit said, don't go yet. So by the time Jesus shows up, Lazarus had been dead 4 days. Important because on the third day, there was, rabbinic doctrine that a person could, their spirit would hang around for possibly 3 days, but on the fourth day, everybody's dead. So that Jesus waited till everyone would say he was dead. He comes up and he's greeted with accusations. If he only would have got here sooner, my brother wouldn't have died. These women that loved him. And Jesus weeps about it, and then he's groaning. He's the only person with faith in his whole environment. And he says to Martha, didn't I tell you that if you'd believe, you'd see the glory of God? Now get this. Sometimes you might be the only person in a negative, hurtful, or traumatic environment with faith. You might be the only person with a download of what God wants to do there. And you have to stay strong and keep saying, this thing's not for death. Not for death. This thing's not for death. You got to say it. So he shows up. He prays. He groans in the spirit. He says, roll the stone away. They said he stinks by now. He says, don't matter. Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came out bound hand and foot. And he said, loose him and let him go. And here comes Lazarus, a miracle resurrection from Christ. It all began with a sentence. This thing's going to end good. This thing is going to have a good ending. See, the Holy Spirit will give you a little glimpse of prophetic insight that create an outrageous hopefulness in the midst of hopelessness. And you'll say things that create the avenue for the Holy Spirit to march down and make it happen. This sickness is not to death. It's going to work out. I have to help someone tonight. it's going to work out. It's going to work out. The devil's not going to win. It doesn't matter. So I've been counseling some pastors, and really, you know, pressure, intense environments this week across the country. You know, instead of being a psychologist, I'm just a prophet to them. I said, I heard from God, everything's going to be all right. Okay. That's all we need. What has Jesus said about it? He said, this thing's going to end good. Amen. So between now and then, in these next 4 days, keep marching toward your deliverance. Keep marching toward your promise from God. Don't give up. Don't retreat. Don't agree with the people that are already mourning something that can't be fixed. Don't let any kind of despondency, delusionment, discouragement. Don't buy into the enemy's lie that it's over. It's not over till God says it's over, and God says it's not over. Okay? So Jesus shows up and does these magnificent things, all because he heard from heaven, he declared something, and the moment he declared it, it set the parameters for what God could do. Just say outrageous things about your family. Just say crazy stuff. All my family's going to be saved. Say crazy stuff. Instead of thinking, oh my God, they're all crazy. That may be factual, but just release faith and say, but they're all going to be crazy saved. That's what they're going to make the... So, woman in the Bible, book of Joshua, named Rahab. Her name means beautiful name, spaciously enlarged. She had a big heart. She is, her profession in Jericho is a prostitute. Now, it's probably because she was a very pretty young girl, that secular culture, a pagan culture. So she's probably forced in at 13 years old into a horrific lifestyle. But all the while, she kept a great heart. It's amazing to me how many people I meet that have beautiful hearts that have had hard lives. It touches me deeply every week when I encounter people and they tell me their stories. And wow. And I see their hearts so open to God. It's just beautiful. And she figures it out. She sees what God's doing. And the Bible says she went and got every one of her family members, her aunts, her uncles, her nieces, her nephews, her brothers, her sisters, mom and dad, and she jammed them all to her apartment. So, get this now, a prostitute got her whole family saved. She ends up marrying a Jewish man. Rahab is in the lineage of Jesus Christ. Unbelievable. But Rahab, can you imagine the thing she says? She said, my family is not going to die when the city's judged. Her faith saved her family. Your faith can save your family. What you're saying about your family? What are you saying about your kids? What are you saying about different ones? So really, God wants to give you some ammunition to say some things. You'll declare a thing that shall be established for you. God wants you to speak some declarations, some purposeful, intentional, scripturally based, powerful, prophetically anointed, Holy Spirit inspired. He wants you to say some stuff into your world. And watch what he does because of it. Read with me. This is... Isaiah was one of my most favorite verses in the Bible. Isaiah 60, rise and shine, your light has come. And the glory of the Lord's risen upon you. Now, look at me for a minute. These people were massacred. These people have had 50, 60, 70 years of horrible oppression. They're slaves, their families separated. Their wealth stolen, every imaginable thing of related to oppression and justice. And God shows up and says, It's a new day. Arise and shine. Your light has come. The prophet shows up and said, everything's changing. A new day is dawning. A new season has begun. God says, get ready for it. Now, you have to get that. That kind of prophetic word is on this generation. We are the glorious church generation. We are the bridegroom, the bride generation. We are the last day church. We have so much prophetic destiny. The skies over Phoenix are thick with black prophetic destiny that God wants to rain down in the city. And we keep waiting for an event, and God keeps waiting for you to say something. I love whenever I get to, from my house, I get to drive through a little hill to here, well, although we live close, these cool little mountains around Phoenix, so I can see some of the lights of downtown. I just love it, because every time I say, I claim this city for you, Papa. This is the city of the Lord. This city's saved. Amen. I was screaming out in tongues the way here. I claim every backslider. There are hundreds of thousands of backsliders, if not millions. I claim them all back to your kingdom. I claim every lost soul, every bound person. The city saved. Man, if God can get enough people saying the right thing, he can tear down the thickest walls. He can make it happen. Verse 2, darkness will cover the earth. Gross or intense darkness the people. Now, it's just so funny to me because I am a eschatological optimist. So I believe God wins in the last days, not the Antichrist, the beast, the false prophet. So, but it's amazing. This chapter has, I don't know, 40 verses that are all positive. And there's one third of one verse that says darkness will cover the earth. And that's preached about more than the rest of it.
Read the Bible says, darkness will cover the earth.
Gross and dense darkness to people. But the Lord will arise upon you. And his glory, his image, his attributes, his presence, your presence is like his likeness will be seen on you. Amen. Lift up your eyes, moms and dads. Lift up your eyes. I think that's in here. Gentiles will come to your light. Kings, important people, or rulers of the mountains will come to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes around and see. They're gathering together who? Your stolen, lost children. Your sons shall come from afar. Your daughters to be nursed by your side. Just think, they don't know where their daughters and sons are. But the prophetic word was, God says, I'm calling them home. I'm calling them home. Amen. Gosh, I've had many times in the last 2 years alone, I can think of three or four times when I had a word of knowledge about someone not hearing from a relative. And I think one of them was 11 years. This last one was 7.5 years in California. And so I said, you're going to hear from your relative. So here's what she said. She hadn't heard from her daughter. So I went back, I gave the prophecy a year ago, you're going to hear from your daughter. I didn't know she was a daughter. God's going to set her free from drugs. God's going to bring her home, and she's going to be in a powerful, and God's going to give her a double portion. So I go back to that church a year later. The lady comes running to me, Pastor, you gave me a word a year ago about my daughter coming home. I just wanted to tell you, 2 weeks after you gave the word, my daughter, who's been a heroin addict for 10 years, came home, came back to Christ, got married, and has just given birth to twins. Now, see, it's God will say some stuff, and if you can say it with him, if you can two-edged sword it with him, if you can lift up your eyes and see, they're coming back. Amen. Jesus did what other people could not do because he saw what other people could not see. When you can see what people can't see, you can do what people can't do. Amen. Amplified Bible, just for fun. Arise from spiritual depression to a new life. Shine, be radiant with the glory and brilliance of the Lord. For your light has come, and the glory and brilliance of the Lord has risen upon you. In fact, darkness will cover the earth and deep darkness will cover the people. But the Lord will rise upon you. His glory and brilliance will be seen upon you. I just love it. Amen. So here's what he said. He said, it's really easy for me to get you out of that situation. But it's more difficult for me to get the situation out of you. And he said this. Get rid of that depression. Because depression keeps you living in the chronic misery of a past defeat. You keep repeating it. And he said, everything's going to change. He said, precious ones, my people, my bride, my children, my church. He said, let something happen on the inside of you. Arise on the inside. I'd like to close with this one little verse. It's not in my notes. Maybe they can find it. It's going to be John 15:7, sound booth people. And let me say this over you. Our words either open up heavenly possibilities for our future or confine us to the smallness of our past. So our words either open up something big or keep us in something small. Yell with me. Be the person that sticks out and stands out of the crowd because of the way you talk. Well, Obama's this. Listen, I pray for President Obama all the time. I have political opinions. But never curse a leader. It's not in the scripture. Pray for those in authority. God help them. God, you know, save them, help them, redeem them, but whatever it is. And don't be on the curse America crowd. Judgment is the desire of defeated people. Transformation is the desire of kings and queens. Okay, Jesus says 10 times in this passage, he used the word abide. So Jesus said, everything depends on where you're living. Okay, who you're living with. Abide in me, abide in my love, abide in my commandments, abide in my spirit, let my words abide in you. So here's what he said in verse 7. This is a revolutionary step, okay? He said, if we have to get this, so much of our own difficulty is not the direct responsibility of the engagement of God, it is because of ifs. Things that happen in our life that are unpleasant, unwanted, or hurtful. A lot of things that have happened are because of behavior by someone in our world or our own behavior. If the condition. Here's the condition. If you abide in me, worship and prayer. Okay? God consciousness. Amen? You're at work, do your work hard, get there early, leave late, be the best employee, have a positive attitude, bless those that curse you. But all day long, keep your engine on. Amen? Just sing a song, amen? Oh, God reigns. Keep your fellowship, your communion with God. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. That's why people love for Pastor Wade to pray for him. You know why? Because he's like a word, he's like a machine gun of the word. So if you get prayed for in the line, you get about 10 scriptures. Yeah, God, thank you, God, that this, by your stripes is healed, no weapon of death. Because if it's in you, it's going to come out of you. And my words abide in you. So Jesus said, if you mix these two ingredients, the combustible result is this.
You will ask what you desire. There it is. Thank you, guys. Everybody say desire. So here's what God says. It's not right for you your whole life to say, I don't have any desires. I just want whatever God wants. And God, listen, I'm married to a wife. Every now and then she drives me crazy. When I said, where would you like to go to eat? She says, I don't care. But I really know she does care. And I'm going to get there. You know what I mean? No, honey, where did we? So we're married 36 years. Of all the years we've gone out, so we've eaten out 1,000 times 36 years. We've eaten 999 times in Mexican food restaurants because my wife loves Mexican food. I know that. I've learned to like Mexican food because I like my wife. Now, God does not want people. See, if you can't express desire, it's because brokenness has stolen your will. Brokenness has disattached your will from decision making. So God doesn't want you to be desireless. He wants you to be godly desired. Delight yourself in the Lord. He will give you desires of heart. Two things. He'll plant the right desires and he'll fulfill those desires. So if you pray about it, Sumi's praying about it. She feels like she's supposed to get married. Tony prays about it. I'm not supposed to be a bachelor forever. Hallelujah. They have a desire. They pray about it. They're godly single people. They pray about it and they have a desire for marriage. Well, God gives them that desire. If that's not supposed to happen, he gives you the grace to be single. Amen. I lost that grace when I was 12 and a half years old. So whatever it is, okay? So you'll ask what you desire. Everybody shout desire. Last sentence. And it shall be done. That's one Greek word, shall be done. It's the Greek word geomene. And geomene means, the English word is to generate. It literally means to create something out of nothing. Just stay with me. So God says, I'm going to give you the secret of how I made the universe. How I made worlds. And I'm giving you now the capacity to shape your world. You'll ask what you desire and it will come into being. Y'all here? So God says, I'd like you to grow as my child into the place of a trust in me. So there came a time in my kids' life, four kids. We raised four kids. So I'm so excited about Friday night slumber party with the Fab Five, my grandkids. So we're just gonna stay up all night, have popcorn, have a dance party. We'll have a dress-up party. They dress me up silly. It's all fun to me. So God says, I'm gonna do something inside of you. I'm gonna take my heart and I'm gonna share it with yours. And God says, instead of you asking what I want to do, I'm gonna put inside of you the knowledge of my will. And it's gonna grow into a powerful, fiery desire. And you're gonna pray these desires. And you're going to declare a thing and it will be established for you. You're going to say to the mountain, move, and it shall be cast to the sea. You're going to say things. America will be saved. Phoenix will be saved. My family will be saved. You're going to say things. The greatest move of God is just beginning. You're going to say things. My best years are in front of me. The rest of my life is the best of my life. You're going to say things. I'm coming back. Even though life is treating you cruelly, you'll start prophesying this contradiction that's in your heart that God shared. You'll say some things and you'll reshape life because of what you say. And the most powerful moment when you say those things is when you can say on your way down, you'll be right back up. There was so much authority in that. With a doctor, gosh, it's been like 11 years ago now. I was on vacation in California and I had a health issue. Go to the doctor, a specialist, and he says, so he gives me, you know, this is, So he says, like, this is a, you know, a 90-some percent diagnosis. So he says the word cancer to me. So this is the honest to God truth. My wife's sitting next to me. So he's a nice man. I'm a nice man. And I just said, excuse me, I will not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. And he said, so he's like, what? He's like, what just happened here? I said, I shall not die but live and declare the, so to, you know, all these things happen, all this action around me, and then a couple months later, nothing, you know, I'm totally free from anything, nothing's there. Either it was there and God took it, who knows? But you've got to tell in chapter one what God's going to do in the last chapter. You got to prophesy at the end of something when you're just beginning it. Let's do this for fun. Can we have fun? Is that okay? Thank you, six of you. Supernatural School Ministry is with me. These guys are radical. Okay, here's what I'm going to do. So everybody stand up. Let's just do this as an exercise. So we're going to just say what Micah said. Rejoice not against me, O thou my enemy, when I fall. And then we're just going to quote that. You can just follow me. I'll say it. And when we say the words, when I fall, just sit down and pretend like life knocked you down. And then we're going to shout, I will arise. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to lay claim tonight to any part of your world, your life, your experience, your faith, your dead dreams, your discouraged journey. Tonight, I just want you to resurrect some stuff. To speak into it so intentionally, so powerfully. So you're going to shout, I will arise. And when you shout, I will arise, just stand back to your feet and just begin, God, thank you that something's shifting because of what you're saying. Amen? So say this after me and then, when I fall, you'll sit down, and then I will arise. You're going to shout that, scream that, and then stand to your feet as you say, okay? Say this out loud. Rejoice not against me, O thou mine enemy, for when I fall, one, two, three, I will arise. Good job. Come on. Listen, I felt this, and I felt the Holy Spirit kind of being unrelenting on it. So there are, I believe, five people here that have been struggling with either the constant or the occasionally but dynamically oppressive thoughts of suicide. And tonight's your freedom night. Tonight, five people getting miracles. And so I'm going to ask the prayer team to come down front, and I'm going to ask, if that's you, say, Pastor, I've been struggling either constantly or dynamically through occasion with the thoughts of suicide. The Lord loves you. He's with you. He's going to help you tonight. And if that's you, I want you to come down. Let us pray for you. Thank you. Thank you, young man, for your honesty. Anyone else, just come right down right now. This is your night for a breakthrough, for a freedom from that. It's going to leave you. In Christ's name, thank you, sister.
Amen. Your joy's gonna be my strength.
Anyone else?
Your peace got a hold of me, yeah. Your joy's gonna be my strength always.
I know you're here, I can feel you. Come down, let us pray for you.
Your joy's gonna be my strength. Your peace got a hold of me, yeah. Your joy's gonna be my strength always. Joy's gonna be my strength. Your peace got a hold of me, yeah. Your joy's gonna be my strength always.
Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I declare freedom and life, deliverance and healing to all of your beautiful children, your precious church, your lovely bride. God, I thank you that awesome things are about to happen. Christ's name.
Look at someone and say, everything's about to change. Look the other way, say, everything's about to change. Come on, tell them. Listen, anyone else? You say, anyone else? Listen, if you've been fighting pretty intense and long-lasting discouragement or depression, I'd like to pray for you also. If you need a physical healing and want more prayer, Pastor Ian did a great job calling for prayer for that earlier. If you're here, if you've never received Jesus as your Savior, the one that takes away all your sins, man, tonight is your night. We would love to pray for you. If you've not been indwelt with the Holy Spirit with the scriptural gift, evidence of a prayer language, a heavenly prayer language, we'd love to pray for you. Anyone wanting prayer, come on down front, the rest of you. Your joy's going to be my strength.
Your peace got a hold of me, yeah. Your joy's going to be my strength always. Oh, your joy's going to be my strength. Your peace got a hold of me, yeah. Your joy's going to be my strength always.
It's your come on, joy. Sing. Your joy, yeah.
Your joy's going to be my strength. Your peace got a hold of me, yeah. Your joy's going to be my strength always.
Your joy.
Your joy's going to be my strength. Your peace got a hold of me, yeah. Your joy's going to be my strength always, yeah. Your joy's going to be my strength. Your peace got a hold of me, yeah. Your joy's going to be my strength always.
It's your joy.
Your joy's going to be my strength. Your peace got a hold of me, yeah. Your joy's gonna be